Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle.
It's Friday, which means it's F&B time.
Okay, yes, of course, F&B Fridays on the Breakfast Huddle. And in recent years, there's been, well, massive investment and exponential growth in vertical farming market in Singapore and around the world.
And this is driven by factors such as food security, decreasing arable land, increasing market demand for local, sustainable produce, and migration towards megacities.
While most investments have focused on the development of more efficient infrastructure, Unfold, which is a tie-up between Temasek and a unit of German pharmaceutical and life sciences giant Bayer, is doing otherwise.
Yeah, Unfold instead will focus on developing plants optimized for the new infrastructure by utilizing the seed genetics or germplasm of vegetable crops. Unfold will focus on developing new seed varieties coupled with agronomic advice tailored for the unique indoor environment of vertical farms.
Ah, so vertical farms are indoor farming, not vertically on the side of a building, which I thought it was yesterday. But hey, anyway, to tell us more about Unfold and the amazing work that they're doing, we have Dr. John Purcell, President and CEO of Unfold Bio Inc., joining us on the line right now. Good morning to you, Doctor.
Hey, good morning. You guys gave us a great commercial for Unfold. I appreciate all the kind words about the impact we're going to have. I love it.
Okay, well, it says you're in L.A., so good afternoon to you. Anyway, Bayer and Temasek recently announcing a joint formation of this new unique company called Unfold. Can you tell us more about Unfold?
Yeah, we really are, I think, entering a unique space and really offering a unique value proposition. I think as you pointed out, the vast majority of investment in this sector has really been focused on more efficient infrastructure. It's on basically the growth facilities. What we're going to focus on are the solutions they need to really be successful. We're going to look at the seeds that they're going to need to grow in those facilities, as well as the digital solutions to accompany that seed to really allow them to optimize the genetics we're going to be providing in the seed.
But let's just talk about the partnership of Bayer and Temasek here. What sort of skills and experience are coming together in a confluence to produce this?
Well, I think what's great about it, and we're really thankful for the tremendous support from both Bayer and Temasek. And I think it's clear that both those companies, as well as Unfold, we really share a belief that vertical farming can provide that hyper-local, sustainable production of really consumer-pleasing fruits and vegetables. And I think what's great about it is, with Bayer's long history in the agriculture sector, mm-hmm. I came from Bayer Crop Science as head of vegetables R&D. And, of course, Temasek has got amazing relationships and a great focus around really trying to think about the kinds of investments that make the world a better place. So I think those core values is something we share with both of the companies at Unfold, and we're real excited about and real thankful for this opportunity.
Doctor, how will a country like Singapore benefit from this deal?
Well, I think, Singapore is one of many countries that's really experiencing that increased demand for fresh, sustainable, locally grown produce with a smaller environmental footprint. And I think consumers around the world are looking for, not just what the food tastes like or what, the appearance or those questions, but they were asking, how is this food grown? So that sustainability and environmental footprint is really important. I think a country like Singapore with, very little arable land, less than 1% arable land, but looking to really change the amount of food that's produced in the country domestically, vertical farming and innovation in vertical farming can be a great tool to allow more food to be produced where people live. And in countries like Singapore, I think will benefit greatly from vertical farming.
So we had an interesting conversation here about what vertical farming actually is. Can you clarify the situation for us?
I hope so.
Okay, yeah, great.
I think if I can, I'm in trouble. I tell you, leading Unfold. But when I think about vertical farming, let's first talk about a trend that's been happening in produce over the last several years, and that is there's been much more production of produce under what's called protected culture. And these can be greenhouses, glasshouses. The vertical farming basically takes some of the advantages of greenhouse or glasshouse production, but really taking it to the ultimate level because it allows for full control of all the factors that could impact your ability to produce the kind of food you want. And I think what's great about it is it's kind of taking advantage of a trend that's been happening in the produce industry, but now taking it now to a place where you're able to control all the conditions, you know, the light, the water use, the temperature, you know, everything that can impact. And you're also eliminating all the environmental effects that can happen when you're in open fields, for example, you know, the pest pressure, the temperature ranges, all those things. Because you're controlling that environment, you can really optimize your crop production for both your yields, but also for the quality that you're providing to the consumers.
I mean, I was curious about that, because if you're controlling the environment, does that mean that these crops end up being organic or not?
It depends. You know, it depends on the country as far as organic. You know, in some countries, there's regulations on what can be actually labeled organic. Where I live in the U.S., crops that are grown hydroponically in a Verklander farm or a glasshouse can carry an organic label. In the EU, they have to be grown in soil to carry the organic label. In Singapore, I believe actually vertical farms can be certified organic. So it depends on the country, it depends on the regulations on whether they can carry that organic label. But I think, you know, the fact that vertical farming can really deliver the kind of produce consumers are looking for, fresh, tasty, nutritious, local, and sustainably produced. You know, it may not fit into that category from a label perspective, but I think it certainly delivers what the industry and the consumers desire. But it's very much dependent upon country, because organic certification regulations differ country by country.
Is this vertical farming concept you're talking about, Doctor, more an industrial, large-scale vertical farming, or can this be done by individuals at home who want to produce their own produce?
That's what's really cool, and I think that what you're seeing is a full spectrum. You know, you're seeing vertical farming showing up in actual grocery stores, you know, at a very small scale. Mm-hmm. You're seeing vertical farm kits being sold for home use, and you're seeing vertical farms that are producing fair volumes of produce that are really trying to provide to grocery stores or to direct consumers for e-retail. So I think it runs the entire spectrum, and that's what's cool about it. But the principles of, you know, if we can control the environment, we keep out the environmental factors, you can really produce a really nice quality of fruit and vegetables. It that holds whether you're doing small scale for home use or in-store use, or the larger units that are really trying to produce for the supply chain.
Okay. It's really quite fascinating. We're speaking to Dr. John Purcell. He's president and CEO of Unfold Bio. So my question now is around some of the science. We talked earlier in the introduction about germplasm, so utilizing the seed genetics from vegetable crops. What does that actually mean? What does it entail, and what are the implications?
Yeah, I think one of the great things about the way the deal is structured is that you know, we'll be able to have rights to the germplasm from Bayer's vegetable seed portfolio. As my last role as head of vegetable R&D, I'm really proud of that germplasm. But now my current role at Unfold, we'll be able to take advantage of that really great germplasm base. What it means is we're going to have the ability to select the best varieties from some of the best germplasm in the world. And I think that's a huge advantage for us as a new company, to be able to have the independence of the company, but then have the ability to take advantage of that technology foundation and that seed foundation in the crops that we're going to focus on.
So will this be producing better, more resilient crops then when you're editing the DNA of the seed?
Yeah, and we're going to be using, you know, really modern breeding technology. So I think the way a lot of breeding works now, you used to have to, you know, basically all the breeding you do, you would have to look at it in the field and select for that. But what's happened with the modern biology, we know a lot more at the genetic level. And a lot of it is just actually selecting for those varieties of tomato that perform best, or those varieties of lettuce that perform best. So, you know, there's lots of tools in modern biology. This particular, in vegetables, GMOs are not really widely used. The crops that we'll be focusing on don't use GMOs. Okay. It's really using the power of modern biology to what we call advanced breeding or modern breeding techniques to really accelerate the pace at which we can bring these kinds of innovations to the marketplace.
Dr. Purcell, at the end of the day, for a lot of businesses, it can boil down to cost. What is the cost of vertical farming versus conventional?
Yeah, it's come down a lot, actually. And that's been obviously you have to always get down to your cost, right? What is the cost to get that food out there? And I think it's certainly not at the level where you have with broad open field, but it's getting to the point where it's competitive with organic production, for example. And I think that's the price point at this point they're looking for is, it's not, it's going to get to where it is certainly higher than open field production at this point, but there's been a lot of progress made. And frankly, with LED light costs coming down and some of the other infrastructure costs coming down, that's helped it. And I think the genetics will help play this too, because the more we can build into genetics that allow for more efficient light efficiency, the efficiency of your light, in other words, how the plant responds to light, the ability to have higher yields through the genetics that we'll be breeding for, all of that, if you can produce more per acre, then you're going to lower your cost of production. So still the way to go to compete with all forms of agriculture, but certainly competitive with other high-tech and certainly competitive with other differentiated products that are in the marketplace, like organic in many countries.
Doctor, so where does digital technology come in terms of vertical farming, and how can it be applied?
The genetic technology, well, I think first of all, I think we're going to be able to take advantage really of all the great progress that's been made in what we call modern breeding. And what's happened in breeding is you've been able to really go from what we call in-field selection to in silico selection. So there's just a lot more understanding now why plants perform the way they do. And so we'll be losing a lot of digital means to accelerate those breeding processes, but all the tools of modern breeding, whether it be gene editing or other ways to accelerate those processes, we're going to be looking at all of those. And that's the way breeding works now. It's a far cry from what it was when I entered agriculture too many years ago at this point. But I think it's just the genetic tools we have available now are just so powerful because we really understand much more about the physiology of the plant, much more about the genes that are involved in that. And so we really understand how a plant responds to all the ways that we're trying to grow it.
So you'll be able to optimize the taste and the texture and all that of a plant?
Oh, absolutely. We do that already. I think the vegetable industry has really worked hard on that. And I think one of the things you look for is you look for the sensory attributes. And you can do that by both, first of all, you have to always do taste panels. And they have to be regional taste panels because, what consumers in Singapore prefer is different from
right.
Western Europe or what you might. So you have to have those kinds of sensitivities. But what we've been able to do is identify on a compositional basis, what is it that's predictive of that taste? In other words, if you look at sort of the composition of that tomato, the acid levels, the sugar levels, can you then select for those varieties that have the kind of composition that you would predict to be the one that's favored in a sensory or taste panel? And I think you always have to come down to people eating tomatoes and see if they like it. But I think we've made a lot of progress
right.
in understanding and having the analytical tools to test in the laboratory to be predictive of which ones are going to come out on top. And there's some great tasting stuff out there. And one of the great things about vertical is because you're going to be producing where people live, it's going to be fresher. And so you're going to reduce the time that it gets to market, which reduces the time it gets to their kitchen or to the chef's kitchen, right? So whenever things are fresher, taste tends to run with that. So I think that'll really help from the taste and other sensory perception.
You make me want to go get a bowl of salad now for breakfast. Thank you very much.
Oh, I'm so happy to hear that. I did my job today.
Thank you very much, Doctor. Dr. John Purcell there, President and CEO of Unfold Bio, Inc., joining us about vertical farming.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg. or download the SBH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.